cow. This is incredible.
That's the reaction from Sean Ryan after he heard that Brian Mazurowski and Joe Beamer were actually doing a show together.
Yes.
This week. That's right. Brian Mazurowski and Joe Beamer on WBEN the day after primary day in the books. Joe, you've been on the air now for 50 straight hours.
Yes, I have.
How's it going?
It's going fine. It's going fine. And I have to say, after losing back-to-back elections 4 years ago, Jeremy Zellner finally has a win in the city of Buffalo. Lost the endorsed primary when they endorsed Byron Brown, then lost the election when they endorsed India Walton. This is the first win for Erie County Democrats in the city of Buffalo.
In a while.
Yeah.
Well, there you go. It's what stuck out to you primary day?
It was not as close as I thought it would be. South Buffalo seems to not have shown up. I mean, obviously, it went for Chris Scanlon, but not in the numbers. But I think this thing's far from over. I mean, Sean Ryan got 12,000 votes and won the election. There's going to be more than 27,000 people voting in November. I think this thing's far from over. And to me, what sticks out most is what Ken Curley told you guys this morning. Both candidates spent over $1 million on the primary, knowing that they were both on the ballot in November. I'm interested to see in 4 months how much more money they can blow through.
The Democratic line carries a lot of weight. How would you be feeling if you were the candidates in the city of Buffalo? 803-0930. What happened 4 years ago, I think, Joe, just it's got to play tricks with your mind. I mean, like, how do you know what to think? 4 years ago, you had somebody lose the Democratic primary, low turnout. We saw low turnout here, too. And win on a write-in campaign.
Yes.
Now, that person just happened to be a longtime incumbent mayor. Everyone knew their name to be able to write it down. Imagine if I asked somebody to write down Mazurowski. I'd never win.
I mean, he is lucky that it's write down Byron Brown.
And everyone knows how to spell Brown.
Yeah.
That's the thing. I mean, there's no confusion.
Your ballots
there
would be challenged for
every single
weeks.
One. Every single one. That plays into it a lot, but it's gotta, you know, kind of stick with you. Like, oh man, just because I lost the primary, it doesn't mean it's all, like, that's what I would be thinking. You know, low turnout, just because I lost here doesn't mean it's over. We spoke, and I thought it was an interesting conversation with James Gardner, who will be on the ballot in November under the Republican line. He's the endorsed Republican for mayor of Buffalo. And there's like this idea that, it's really funny. I think you could take two rational people and look at it two different ways. You know, if Chris Scanlon is on the ballot in November, and so is Sean Ryan, obviously, in the Democrat, and you have James Gardner as a Republican, there's some people who say, well, Scanlon and Gardner are going to split some of the vote, and Sean Ryan is easily going to win in November. You have other people who would say, well, no, Scanlon and Ryan are going to split a lot of the vote, and James Gardner would have a chance in a way that a lot of Republicans might not if there was only one, you know, if there was a Byron Brown, say, on the ballot in November.
Wait,
and I think both are completely valid ideas.
Because a lot of people are assuming, and you know what happens when you assume, that Democrats will go for Sean Ryan in November. But here's the thing. There's 100,000 registered Democrats in the city of Buffalo. Only 27,000. So we don't know the Democrats who didn't show up that will show up in November. We don't know how they'll swing. We're guessing that this is how does Scanlon bring in independent and Republican voters. But you have to remember, quick math in my head, there's 63,000 registered Democrats, obviously all of them more Democrats. Obviously, they're not going to all show up to the polls. But if you can get 40,000 or 50,000, how does that split in November compared to the primary? Also something interesting to look up. And hey, I know it's a small number in the grand scheme of things, but Whitfield and Wyatt, right? I mean, they both got 8%. Do they throw their support behind one of the two Democrats in November?
Will be interesting to see what happens there. Joe, you're a voter.
Yes.
So what matters more to you? In talking with James Gardner earlier, when he was talking about his candidacy, which has been, he says, all part of the plan laying low until maybe right now. When asking him about the Republicans' track record in the city of Buffalo in recent history, which is to say there really isn't any, he pointed a lot to the failings of leadership, the failings of Democrats in Buffalo. What resonates more with you? And I wonder, what do you think resonates more with voters? Me saying, look at these people and all the bad things they've done, or being able to say, hey, look at this or this and the good things they've done. Because to me, it's a problem for James Gardner to not have anything to point to in the city of Buffalo. I mean, do not have anything to point to in the city of Buffalo and say, hey, look, this is what Republican leadership can do. He's got nothing.
No, you have to go to the suburbs and say, you know, look at this. I would say, you know, I've said for a while now, Brian, that I think Republicans, they need to start somewhere in the city of Buffalo. When I said somewhere, I assumed I'm like a council seat. Not, hey, we haven't been on any election for two full cycles, mm-hmm. not on a council seat, not in the mayoral race, to now just come out. And it's not James Gardner's fault. James Gardner, great guy. I have nothing against him, but it's not his fault. But for the Republicans to say, hey, this is the year. And again, I would have started in maybe a South Buffalo council district, Scanlon's old district. I would have started there to make your name, not at the mayoral seat, and run no Republicans anywhere else in the city. But to your point, I mean, you can point to Scanlon and Ryan. I mean, there are both things on their records that you could say, look at what they oversaw as senator, as council member, as mayor, and look at the condition or look how that was wasted. I mean, Scanlon wasn't mayor when the city of Buffalo wasted the American Rescue money, but he was on the council, right? You could point to that.
I just don't think it really works as a message.
Well, obviously it doesn't.
Unless you're Donald Trump. It doesn't really work as a message.
No.
You know, Donald Trump was able to go like, hey, look at this, like look at the border, look at that, you know, and kind of run on that.
Well, Trump's also lucky that the country's not as registered one way or the other as the city of Buffalo is.
Yeah. But just in general, I don't think that it works to say, look at this, it's a mess. Look at how bad they are. Don't you want something different? Especially if your different is like your selling point is just I'm different. You have to give me a little bit more than that.
Well, because
and
that,
you have to be able to point to something to show me how different works where I am.
Well, because if look at what these guys have done worked, Garnett Whitfield would have more than 8%.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I mean, that was his campaign. I haven't been part of this. I haven't been in the council. I haven't been in Albany. And look what's wrong with the city. Look at the condition of certain parts of the city. If that messaging worked, Garnell Whitfield, I think, would have, which, by the way, you talk about surprises. I did think he would perform a little better than he did. I thought he was out there every day. He, unlike Sean Ryan, did not decline invitations to come on Hardline. But no, I mean, I think another issue that we're kind of, we know and we just assume everyone knows, is too many people just vote down. Oh, you have the letter of my party next to your name? Vote down the line. And I know people might assume that's me. Brian, I have never in my life voted straight down one line, ever. I will go all over the place. And I think that's how it should be. You shouldn't vote for the party.
From like the Republican to the conservative line and vice versa?
You might find this hard to believe. I have voted for a Democrat once in my life.
I think that it does, at least, you know, this is my personal opinion talking, you know, maybe it doesn't matter in the long. I think it is a problem if you're unable to point to, you know, accomplishments your party has in the area and you're just selling yourself as a different voice. You know, Joe, it's why if I were to say my big takeaway from primary day, I was not going to be surprised either way at what happened in the city of Buffalo.
Right.
My big takeaway was what happened in New York City, where Mamdani beating Cuomo is seen. I mean, it's seen as a big upset. I think that's all relative, right? Like, if you look at where we were 2 months ago, yeah, it's a big upset. If you, I've been reading some of the reporting this morning, Cuomo donor on the phone to a reporter earlier this week. Mamdani, yeah, the kid's never going to win. You know, I guess to some people, wow, it's still an upset as of earlier this week when they were really close together in the polls. But what did he do differently to, you know, beat a name in Cuomo that, you know, when I mention, oh, you just point to the other side, I don't know if that really works. Like, they haven't done this. Look at how bad things are. He, and you might disagree with the vision, he has things that he's pointing to that he says, this is what we want to do. Like, here's an idea that I want to do. And I think, Joe, like, if you were to ask people, you know, is a housing plan that costs, you know, more than the entire city budget that he has, you know, this $100 billion housing plan. I think if you were to ask even a lot of his voters, oh, do you think like this? No one thinks that that's really going to necessarily happen. But I think people like that you have someone who's coming in with a lot of ideas of his own.
Yeah, David and I actually talked about this last night because I said, you know, he's talking about free transportation, you know, free public transportation.
Buses free.
The government running the grocery store, which I don't know who would ever want that to happen.
Could you? I want to pause on this. I'm glad you brought it up. A government-run grocery store. I love this idea. I love it because it's so funny to me. A government-run grocery store. Because you know that when the government's paying for it, that any contract, you're just going to cost as much, right? It's a half a million. How much was the arch going over Bailey Avenue? $500,000.
That's right.
$500,000 arch over Bailey Avenue. This thing that I think I saw one at Lowe's for like $40 over the weekend. If the government's paying for it, you're going to charge whatever. This grocery store is going to cost 5 times more to construct than any Wegmans, Tops, or anything in all of New York State. And you're going to fill it with, I don't know, Joe. It's incredible to me that I want to see it happen. I just want to see the bill at the end of the day, like what it costs the government to get this versus when, you know, one of these chains builds a store and sticks to a budget, like how much it costs them to build a new one.
Yeah, but for Mamdani, obviously I disagree with a lot of what he stands on, but I think what made him, and I talked about this with Dr. Mark Epstein a few weeks ago, because you have to remember, the primary, usually on the Democratic side, and we saw this in Buffalo now twice, the further left opponent goes in as a favorite in a lot of local primaries. And I think people, Brian, they didn't want Cuomo, but up until about a month ago, Cuomo was, okay, he was going to get the win. None of these other candidates are even challenging him. And then when this Mamdani was actually gaining traction, you know, people go, oh, this won't, you know, if I vote for him, it won't be throwing my vote away. I just want someone other than Cuomo. I heard that from some of my friends in New York. Yeah, I don't, to your point, I don't think any of this stuff's going to happen, but I don't want to give Cuomo his key back into politics. And again, I don't think anyone thought that Cuomo cared about being the mayor of New York. He cared about
himself
getting back in that step so he can go to the next chapter.
Cuomo's campaign, I think, should be studied because it is just a masterclass in arrogance with how he conducted himself throughout the entire campaign.
Of course.
Laughing off. I remember I listened to one of the very few interviews he did a few weeks ago, was listening to him kind of laughing off the idea of Mamdani as a challenger. All while having no, up until about a week ago, when this PAC threw in money, had no one on the ground, no one knocking on any doors, like no ground game for him. He ran a Rose Garden campaign as someone who was last in the news, resigning in disgrace because he was singing on ladies' voicemails. Do we still have that song, by the way? I would love to... Was that the concession speech when he called?
He played.
What was the song? You made me love you. Was it that one?
That sounds about right.
I don't know. But he did this and just kind of thought that he was bigger than the front. And you look at the other way. So he ran a terrible campaign, I think. And Mamdani, I think, ran an excellent one because, Joe, you have somebody, again, you have this many people voting for you. All right, turnout in a primary, it's not like it is in a general election.
Right.
It's lower turnout. You're going to get a lot of people who are very energized, a lot of people who feel very one way. But there's a lot of people who voted for him who I don't think are lockstep with his views. But when you go out and you meet people and you put yourself out there and you do these videos online like he was doing, talking directly to the voters, you know, no one ever sees – Andrew Cuomo on TV or him, like, I don't think he did any of these videos, well, but if he were to do a TikTok or like Instagram reel or something like that, where it's just like a selfie or someone just like pointing the camera right at him and he's directly appealing to you, you don't really come out saying like, oh man, that Andrew Cuomo, he's cool. What a cool dude. No one's ever said that.
I mean, there were the Cuomo...
actually, that's true. You know, Kelly Ripa.
Do you remember all the Cuomo fans in 2020 when he got his Emmy?
Yeah.
Talking about him running for president?
Kelly was fawning over him.
Yeah,
I mean, she ditched Regis and got onto Cuomo. But you don't come away... He doesn't come off as a likable guy. When this Mamdani is going out, he's knocking on doors, he's walking through the boroughs with a crowd of people behind him, taking selfies, shaking everyone's hand. You know what you don't think of, Joe, when somebody is right in front of you? You don't think of like the policies that are written from behind a desk. You think about what this person is, this person's personality. It's why, you know, pressing the flesh is so important in a political campaign, because you want people to have some sort of personal connection. When you know somebody personally, you're more likely to support them. I've watched the videos of this guy going through New York, greeting New Yorkers, you know, addressing people directly on, you know, whatever social media feed it is. And he comes across as an extremely likable guy. Now, does he come across as that when he's behind a podium talking about, you know, the rent freeze and, you know, all this other stuff? Not really, in my opinion. But when he's doing what he's been doing for the last month, it comes across as really likable. We talk about it all the time. If I know you, I might completely disagree with you, but if we were friends or like went to college together, I'll probably vote for you. But it's that personal connection.
You don't think he thinks he's better than you.
Exactly.
I think that also gets around. Again, I agree with you. I disagree with everything this guy has said. However, Cuomo, as you said, he kind of just was there like, yeah, I'm going to win, right? And this, I'm better than everyone here. I used to be the governor. I'll tell you what's going to be interesting, though. Does he stay on the line in November and split the votes with Eric Adams and get this guy the track right to the mayor's mansion? I think it'll be very interesting to see.
But is that what happened? I don't know if that's what happens.
I think it would be. I think it will be. You have moderate Democrats that are going to stick by Eric Adams, but if Cuomo's there, he will pull some votes. I mean, obviously, being the Democrat in New York City, you are the heavy favorite to be the next mayor.
The most hilarious part of this Cuomo interview I remember from a few weeks ago, there he was asked if he voted for Eric Adams in the last, because, you know, heavily critical
right.
of the mayor, and asked, you know, it didn't answer, you know, and credit to the interviewer, who did you vote for? Did you vote in the last election? He finally got around to it. Well, I didn't vote. I couldn't vote. I didn't live in New York City. So here's a guy who wasn't even living in a place where he was eligible to vote on the mayor. Now wants to be your mayor. Okay. We got more on this. A primary day wrap up and more to come. B-Maz and Beamer on WBEN. Brian Mazurowski and Joe Beamer here on WBEN. We're talking about the primary day and some of the things that you took from the results from last night. And I was talking about New York City, where I think it is a... It's a perfect thing. It's more than just the policy. It's more than just, you know, I would be very wary if I was, you know, like an AOC or something.
Yeah.
Because that's the hot new talk, right? Like, oh, man, she should just go right now and challenge Chuck Schumer. And, you know, all of this. I'd be very wary of that, although she's very capable of running a campaign like this herself. But it's not so much to me. It's not as much the ideas as it is the candidate and the campaign you run. And Mamdani in New York City wins. He beats Andrew Cuomo. And the two could not be more different. And I'm not talking about policy. They couldn't be more different in the way they ran their campaign. How many hands did Andrew Cuomo shake in the last 3 months while running for mayor of New York City? Probably not that many. The thought of him was that he's in an ivory tower somewhere just waiting for you to check that box for Cuomo and send him off to become mayor of New York City. Well, Mamdani is there, I mean, interacting with everybody he can, and not just in the streets. He's going on every, you know, he did the Trump thing, to be honest. He was going on all these podcasts that you'd think of as niche, like, oh, are you wasting your time going on? Nope, he's reaching as many people as possible and trying to establish a personal connection. Like, you know the guy, and I think that matters so much. And Joe, on our text board, somebody mentioned in Amherst, almost the exact same thing. Someone mentioned that that was the truth or why they pulled the lever, or I voted for Gagliardo for the same reason, person texts him, because he came to my door. No one else has ever done that. I think that means so much still.
Yeah, and the Gagliardo campaign, by the way, they were calling people yesterday morning. I know because my parents live in Amherst, and they were getting calls from Gagliardo. Do you need help getting, you know, to the polling place? Do you know where to vote? And are you voting today? I mean, really just reaching out up until the polls close.
Mm-hmm.
You have people like... But you go into the city of Buffalo, and I know Sean Ryan was shaking a few hands, but it's not like Chris Scanlon wasn't. So what, in your opinion, Brian, pushed Sean Ryan over the line in the primary?
I don't know. is that a good answer?
Because, I mean, and I don't mean any offense to Sean Ryan, but like, I don't think he seems more likable than Chris Scanlon. You know what I mean? Like, the things that I would point to me, doesn't make it obvious why he's a better candidate.
But person to person, I think they're both likable people.
That's what I mean.
You meet both of them, and they're both, you know, they're perfectly fine.
Sean Ryan doesn't get back to me.
Well, you don't live in the city of Buffalo to vote, Joe.
That's a great point, Brian. It's a great point.
They're both likable people, I think. It was funny in talking about this race before around. I was noting a month or so ago, and, you know, this really goes to, you have to, it's hard to get a full scope of what's going on, because in my driving through the city, I would see, you know, a lot of signs for Chris Scanlon in areas of the city that I drive through.
Yes.
And then I remember seeing a Sean Ryan sign one day. I'm like, you know what? I feel like that's the first Sean Ryan sign that I've seen. I've seen all these Scanlon signs. Like, he must have a really good ground game. It seems like he has a lot of support. And I told this to somebody who said, I've seen the exact opposite. It was like, I haven't seen a single Scanlon sign. Yep. I see Sean Ryan signs all over the place. But it really depends on where in the city you were driving through. You could have a totally different idea. I mean, turnout is really the thing. There wasn't a big turnout, which makes it so hard to, what can you really know, right, from the primary with low turnout? Like, who would
these voters are more single, enthused?
That's, exactly that. But if every single person showed up, right? Like, who would come out on top? Like, could we say that from yesterday? I do think that there is something. Now, in their campaign ads, I think a lot of people, there's a few things that make campaign ads successful. You know, in talking about that, I think more important than any ad would be FaceTime and getting yourself in front of people.
Yep.
And relating to them on a face-to-face level. But if you are running an ad, I think a lot of the ads that we saw, especially TV ads over the last month or so, I hate to say this, but it's just, you know, womp, 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 womp. Like, it just, you know, it blends in with all the,
yep,
the stuff that you hear over and over again.
Especially when they play back-to-back.
Yeah, but it just sounds womp, 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 womp. Except for, and whoever made this ad, they deserve credit. You know what I think was a great part? Sean Ryan, at the end of his ad, where he's fake driving the car. They could have got a better, like, green screen thing.
Yes.
There. But it was great at the end of his ad. He hits the bump and goes over the potholes. And I think it's the last word said in the ad. Especially those darn potholes, or says something like that. Well, there's something that, okay, yeah. Like, I don't care who's supporting who. He got money from over here. He said, like, back in whatever, brah, 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 here's a newspaper. That's newspaper clippings that don't even, no one even gets the actual paper. Where are you getting these clippings from? No one's gotten the paper delivered to them. But, like, that all just falls so flat on everybody. But then, you know, that one at the end, boom, hitting the pothole. It's like, oh, well, you know, that's something I care about. I don't care about any of this other stuff.
I'm glad there's no state roads that he could have voted for.
It doesn't matter.
But to a point, it does.
You're talking about it.
To a point, it does. Like, how many times have I heard about potholes? Guess what I hit every time on the way home? Potholes. Guess who's in office through all these towns I drove through? The people who said they were going to fix the potholes. Like, yeah. I mean, when do we stop falling for the BS? I mean, Is someone in Niagara Falls writing on, hey, I'll fix the road in front of Delta Sonic? Are they? Because it's the exact same as it was 5 years ago when I was in Niagara Falls. You know what I mean? Like, I get it, and you're right. I mean, obviously it stuck. I'm in the minority here. But the pothole, anytime someone talks about potholes, it goes right over my head because I have been promised fixed potholes since I got my learner's permit in 2004. So that's my thought. Wait a minute. Did I do the math right? Yeah, 2004.
I mean, you could be like me and where I say, I think they do a pretty good job of potholes everywhere. What more can they do? I don't want to spend, $600,000 on a new truck to fill the potholes. So they're doing about as well as they can with the equipment they have. Okay.
Well, then to that point, that's really gone through your head when you saw the Sean Ryan spot.
It's like all the, yeah, but I'm just me. I think most people say, like, oh, potholes, that's something I care about. Like, yeah. That's not newspaper clipping. That's not, oh, he took money from here. He took money from there. That's not, oh, he said this, he said that, that you hear over and over that just kind of, you see the political ad. Yeah, but all of that was womp, womp, womp. I think that was the only thing I saw in an ad where people might go, like, yeah, there's something I care about. Fix a pothole.
That was a smart final, that was his final campaign.
Absolutely. Yeah. I think that was extremely smart. Like, the Paladino issue that was talked about so many times, like, I remember we talked with a lot of guests about that. Like, who is actually paying attention to this? Like, how many regular people who aren't super invested in politics are they getting with this message? It can't be that many. I'm in the minority, Joe, of people who look at plowing and say, yeah, they're doing a pretty good job, doing what they can do.
Like, well, you don't live in the city.
I don't live in the city, but I think about that just about everyone. Even Sean Ryan, I remember having him on after he announced his candidacy when we were talking about the plowing issue, because that's one of the first things he brought up. You know, we have to plow our roads and fill our potholes. I mean, that was the very first thing he said, I think, when he announced he was running for Buffalo, mayor of Buffalo. And I remember asking him, like, well, what actually could you do better about this? You know, I see truck after truck after these major snowstorms, they're hauling it away. And he mentioned the thing that, like, I don't need to give you an answer right now, but hey, we've all driven down Colvin or Kenmore. And when you hit the city line, and you don't need to see the street signs go from green to blue to know that you've hit the city of Buffalo, you just know from the snow that's still on the road. It's like, yeah, you got a great point. Everybody knows exactly what you're talking about. How do you fix that? Could it be fixed without spending an exorbitant amount of money, without putting everyone in City Hall, like, in a truck on the road? I don't know, but it is an issue.
Well, it's obviously an issue, and potholes have been an issue in the city of Buffalo since before you and I were driving. I mean, the deficit's also a big issue that, you know, whoever wins this is going to have to figure it out, hopefully. or just add to it.
Or not.
As I was saying that, I was like, well, I guess, you know, I mean, there have been people who haven't.
Right? Like, do we really have to figure it out? Do people are people caring that much?
But you know, the political nerd that I am, I am interested in, you know, what is the result of this plan? Obviously, this is a plan that was put in place by Erie County Democrats to open up Sean Ryan's seat. And so I know that's a very few people are looking at that, Brian, but as the political nerd that I am interested to see why this plan was put in place. But that's just, again, I know I'm a lot of people are like, all right, Joe, we get it.
Do you love when you have a race like you did in Hamburg?
Oh, 25 votes. We need a recount.
Well, I mean, we need to finish the count, right? Yeah. I mean, 25 is not a lot.
No.
I mean, how many absentees or other ballots do they still have hanging around? Because it would not take a lot to change that around.
No. Very close race. One that you really didn't hear about. And that will be to, you know, there is an open seat in Hamburg. So whoever wins that will take on the Democrat, and there will be a new supervisor in the town of Hamburg.
Saw the signs all over. Another that we'll, I'm sure, talk about, you know, more and more. And we've been talking about this, actually, not so much under the lens of politics and the supervisor's race, but we've had a focus on Orchard Park.
Oh, yeah.
And their big issue in Orchard Park right now at least from the outside, someone who doesn't live in Orchard Park, maybe if you live there, you're like, oh, the squirrels are just, they're too much. But to me, the big issue in Orchard Park from someone who lives in North Tonawanda.
Yeah, fan of squirrels, Brian?
What you're doing. And I got another dead rabbit in my backyard. My wife texted me. Geez. The dog's just like killing everything that comes in there. And I got to scoop it up.
I'd rather it be a rabbit than a
My skunk. Only question was, is there's no blood on the bounce house, right? That's still out there. But no, the Orchard Park Town Supervisor, Eugene Majark, I mean, he goes down hard in that vote. I mean, for an incumbent to lose by a pretty significant margin like that.
Yeah.
I think that's a pretty big rebuke from
People feel you've dropped the ball on certain things. And we've heard from people in Orchard Park that, the stadium.
Is development that thing? Like, is that what drove this election? I'm looking at it from a 28-minute drive away.
But you would think that was the only reason someone would enter the race to challenge an incumbent, right? I mean, there has to be something so unpopular. And for hearing from people in Orchard Park that that's what's unpopular, kind of dragging their feet on development and zoning and stuff around the stadium, that's going to push someone into. I mean, and Liberty is on the council. And he jumps in, and obviously people were motivated to make sure that Marzak does not get the endorsement of the Republican Party.
Well, it was a great primary day, great coverage, of course. Thank you, Joe.
Oh, no,
all night long.
Thank you, David. Thank you, Jack O'Donnell. Thank you, Carl Calabrese. I want to go back to the rabbits for a second.
Yeah.
I mean, don't they realize, like, Chuck didn't come back.
You would think they would spread the word.
Yeah, like, we shouldn't go in there.
It's like the meme, get the word out. We're back on top. It's like, get the word out. Don't go here.
Yes. Like, I know they're not, as advanced as humans, but
they're rabbits, not great communicators.
But they don't have to just realize that, like, Chuck and Barry, and they're not here anymore. They went into that yard and didn't come back with anything.
Chuck and Barry. That's what a rockabilly fan names his pet dogs. I don't know what's going on. All I know is that I get the text from here's where I'm happy. All I know is that he didn't eat the entire thing this time. That was the issue earlier this year.
Because then it caused stomach issues?
Yeah, then it just I was cleaning it up all over the kitchen the day after.
Oh my God.
And there, feathers all over the ground. Just went for the kill. So did not eat the entire rabbit.
So this is sport now.
Yeah. Well, I think they'd want to eat it, but then realize quickly after, like, oh, wait, the dog's smarter than the rabbit. The dog knows, like, wait, last time I did this, didn't end well. There's food at home. Right? Like,
I need my dog to have that kind of sense.
I don't need to eat this right here. And left it be. Now the only thing is, like, I just chuck it in the trash. Am I supposed to do anything like?
No, it's not an electronic.
Take it back.
You have to take it to Best Buy.
Not a big battery. I just mean, like, I don't, like, bag it and then put it in the trash. Is that gross, or?
It's trash. It's the trash can.
Actually, it's a week until trash day.
Are your kids playing in the trash can?
No. But still, like, we got a bunch of.
A week to trash day, though.
That's the thing. Like, I feel like I should bag it and then.
That thing's going to bake in there. Especially with the temps. We're getting into the 80s this weekend.
All right. I'll bag it.
Yeah, I think this is when you bag.
But my wife, like, refuses to help me out. Like, that's, she's like, oh, ew, I don't want to.
Does she give you a picture, or did she just tell you? Or do you get, like, a picture?
Oh, she won't
look what happened again.
No, she won't send me a picture. Like, I don't want to look at it, so I'll send her a picture of it.
Well played.
When I'm outside.
Well played.
Like, going, like, hey, check this out. Or, like, and I'll bookend it. Like, oh, here's a picture of the kids. And then, like, oh, sneak one in there. Dead rabbit.
Well, I've done that with my son's diaper now, because my wife will say, oh, what was the consistency? Like, if I say he pooped, what's the consistency? And I don't know how to explain it, so I go, well, here's the consistency.
You're still talking about consistency?
Just after, he eats, like, a lot of berries, and she's like, oh, what was the color and consistency?
Yeah,
I go, here it was.
Here you go.
Yeah. He, the potty training thing's going to be difficult. We got him one of the toilets that has the fake flush on it. Right, so it's like you're a big boy, right?
Mm-hmm.
He's scared of the flush. He pressed the flush and came screaming with his arms waving up back and forth.
You got to bring him in with you. You got to sit down.
We've flushed it. We've been there.
You're doing that?
Yeah, of course.
We do the...
This is what you're supposed to do.
Oh, like are you potty training right now?
We're getting ready to potty train, yes.
Oh, okay.
We got the toilet.
It's on our calendar next week.
Yeah. We don't have a specific week, but you guys, you're a few months ahead of us. So.
Yeah. Yeah. It goes on the calendar. It's like these 4 days, and you're doing it.
I like that.
No more diapers. They get thrown away.
Beautiful.
Not even in the room. Well, they don't get thrown away. They get sent to somewhere else, but that's it. And that's tomorrow. My oldest used to be that with the public toilet because they got a pressure flusher on there. Used to freak him out. We wouldn't flush on the public toilet. So I had to go all right, it's okay. You can stand in the corner for right now. I'll take care of this for you.
We misread a situation earlier this week. We got new blackout curtains. I mean, it's colder in there now.
It's nice.
Yeah. Amazing. Here's the thing. We thought, the old system we had to black out the sun, we thought that was, getting weak because the sun would come up 5 and he woke up. It's like, we get these new blackout curtains. The sun won't wake him up. He's still waking up at 5.
So. Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't think it was the sun.
But it started with the sun. That's why we thought it might have been the light coming up earlier.
5 isn't that crazy, though.
Well, I'm already here, so.
I knew that. Not your problem.
Yeah, not anymore.
That's what you say. Well, you got David Bellavia coming up next, and we'll be back here tomorrow. 803-0930. You can reach David, and then we'll see you bright and early tomorrow morning. BMaz and Beamer on WBEN.